The long, tall man that is Stephen Mayne. Stephen, great to see you.
Great to be here, Libby.
Now, listen, we haven't covered Kevin Rudd's new infrastructure splurge that was on the television today. And I know he has a lot of good content, but, gee, he presents it in a way that makes me want to watch cartoons.
Sorry. Yes, he's not quite Paul Keating.
He's not. He just doesn't have that sort of...
With his, this is the statement that brings home the bacon, or, you know, some sort of grand rhetorical flourish like
sort of
that.
Sort of acerbic so. Or
yeah, they're dramatic. They're trying to call it nation building, though. So they're talking it up, you know, $600 million for Newcastle. It is a bit of a funny one. The number of ships waiting for coal off the port of Newcastle has halved. So it used to be about 80, now it's down about 35. So
Waiting for coal,
yeah. So Newcastle's getting 600 million to double the amount of coal exports so we can get up to 200 million tonnes a year. Now, I reckon by the time they'll have finished, we'll probably have found a solution for dirty coal.
Good.
And we won't be needing 200 million tonnes a year through Newcastle. So they're about 10 years too late. They've missed the resources boom, and the coal prices will crash next May, because that's when the contract prices finish. So you'll probably see coal prices crash by about 50%, and then a whole bunch of Hunter Valley coal mines will close, and we'll soon be getting ready, just like all the other mines are closing. The only two sorts of mines that aren't closing at the moment are iron ore and coal, because they've got contracts.
That take us into next year.
And the Chinese are just rubbing their hands, saying, you ripped us off in the boom, and we're about to tell you to take a 60% haircut on your contract prices for coal and iron ore. So there'll be blood on the floor next year, but we'll be building new rail and new capacity out of Newcastle, so we can double capacity. But overall, it's quite a good package. It's where it adds value. You know, Anthony Albanese is saying we're going to need another 1 million concrete sleepers for all this rail we're building, and they're all going to be built in Grafton, Wagga, and Geelong. Regional jobs, and so they are targeting it quite well. I think, quite a good more than $1 billion into universities and TAFEs and research centres. So certainly the education prime minister we're seeing when it comes to
that's good.
Big infrastructure spend, he's giving the unis $560 million just in university research facilities.
Well, research is what we need to reconcentrate on, isn't it? I mean, I have some friends who work in science and medicine, and the research monies that are available is pitiful, and yet it's the only thing that'll take us forward.
That's right. I mean, I agree. It's a good way to target spending, and lots of roads and rail, and even the Ord River scheme up there in the northern, well, I think it's in WA actually, in the Kimberley's getting a bit of money. So they're claiming 32,000 jobs. On paper, all sounds good. Good headlines. Opinion polls will go up. My only worry is that will we have enough cash left if things get really bad next year? So, like, we've already given $1 billion to the Indonesians. What if we need to give $5 billion, $10 billion to our neighbours? What if our dollar crashes and we have to start buying our currency, like the Russians have spent $200 billion buying up their currency to support their currency? They used to have $500 billion of reserves. They've already gone through half of that. We've only got $30 billion with foreign reserves. We've got one of the lowest foreign reserves in the world. So I get a bit nervous about a government that's just done $10 billion handout to, you know, pensioners and carers and everyone, much as they need it and much as it's good for them to spend. They're bailing out ABC Learning. They're giving $1 billion to Indonesia. They're now doing $4.7 billion here. What happens if our banks need to be recapitalised? So like most other banks around the world have. I mean, I can't see how our banks are going to keep making $25 billion a year. They're not. If we get the big jump in unemployment and the big housing crash because people can't pay their mortgages, because our households are the most indebted in the world in per capita terms after the British, if that happens, what does the government have left in the can?
How much would you estimate?
Well, the big sort of corporate play at the moment is foreign banks are fleeing and our banks are having to take up the heavy lifting in terms of making loans. So our banks are all raising money. Westpac this week, $2.5 billion. Their share prices are falling. Oh, look, the Future Fund's got $40 billion cash. Reserve Bank's got more than $50 billion. But they've already spent more than $5 billion buying up mortgage securities. So I just think in a crisis like this, you need to keep your powder dry, and you need to not ever have the ignominy of having to go to the IMF or say, we need a hand from some sort of big brother. And I just think we're spending a bit too much too early.
Is the IMF kind of like the global CES?
Yeah, that's right. And you're a first world or you're not if you need a bailout from the IMF, so or a neighbouring country. So like the Indonesians, we bailed them out in 97, and the Koreans and the Thais, they got a billion each back in 97 in the Asian crisis. And we became a real first world. That was our real great moment. We survived that. We didn't need a bailout. We helped others. We're doing it again. The Indonesians, yes, they've progressed, but they still need a billion from us. And I mean, even the Kiwis, you know, they're in a very severe recession. And this game at the moment in a global capital squeeze is, it's, you know, it's sovereign states are coming under pressure. You don't want to be like Ukraine or Iceland. You know, even California had to get bailed out to the tune of $5 billion.
Look at this happy face that's just joined us in the studio.
You wouldn't know. It was pouring with rain out there and there's traffic chaos. And
I love the rain and it's Friday.
Exactly.
I mean, that's two out of three, you know. But I haven't finished work yet, Libby, but that'll come soon enough. That'll be number three.
Ian Henderson, of course, delivering your number one 7 o'clock news bulletin on ABC One. It is the only news bulletin that is at 7 o'clock, but it still is the number one rated news bulletin.
We've been a bit of strife when they've tried to move it from time to time.
There's can't sort of move it from
popular
7.
Popular revolt, yeah.
Can't even make it the national. It has to stay.
No, that's right. You've got a long memory, haven't you?
I was only young. I was in utero. But that's when I learned about scheduling.
You were very smart in utero, though. You were precocious.
Was I?
Well, you must have been to know all that.
Well, you know, some people's mothers played them Mozart. My mother watched the news.
What's Mainline
well,
here
Main's
telling
talking
you
about this infrastructure splurge of Kevin Rudd's, and he thinks, let me see if I've understood you correctly, Stephen, because you are my educational input. He thinks that maybe we might be, we should be keeping our powder a bit drier, because what happens? What happens mid next year? Will there be enough money to keep us going? Have I made that
clear?
Yeah,
I think in a global crisis of unprecedented proportions, you don't want to be splashing $15 billion in a few weeks if you might have to bail out your banks.
Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.
Mm. What do you reckon? You're not allowed to reckon.
I'm not allowed to reckon, but I do reckon occasionally.
Mm.
I just don't know. I mean, I'm not an economist, so. But what Stephen's saying certainly sounds like a plausible argument.
Does, doesn't
but
it?
I mean, the other school would say this is looking so bad. Throw everything you've got at it now, because you could be accused of not doing enough.
Well, it's good spending, good projects. I'm a bit peeved off that Anthony Albanese. He's up in Sydney. He's married to the Deputy Premier of New South Wales, Carmel Tebbit, and they've got $2.1 billion.
Yeah, I know that. Victoria been a bit dudded.
Been a bit dudded. It's a very New South Wales centric bailout, but they've got no cash. They're
sexually transmitted.
They
bailout,
need bailing.
Yeah, they do need bailing.
New South Wales, they've lost all their money. Their council's lost all their money in the hedge funds.
And they're cancelling all their infrastructure projects. So now the feds are stepping up and saying, "Well, here's a bit of extra infrastructure for you because you've just cancelled $20 billion of your own projects because you're broke."
Mm.
So. Tell me, did anyone ever think China's boom would ever end?
Well, I heard a lot of people use this wonderful phrase, stronger for longer. Mm. So I think when you look back at the year, I think there's a few things that haven't materialised, as people claimed, and stronger for longer is one of them. China is bursting spectacularly. Their imports were down 18% in November. Their exports were down 2.2% in November. That's compared to a year ago. So they're supposed to have grown by 10% over that year. And actually, their exports are down. They're not taking in any imports. Their government revenue's down. Their factories are closing. Unemployment's surging. And the whole decoupling was the other great word, that China will boom irrespective of the US because it is decoupled. It can generate its own growth and strength. And I think the Americans have shown that they are able to export their financial poison with devastating effect this year, which is what they have done.
Stephen Mayne is your guest on the program as we come up to 6 o'clock. I should just tell you that the forecast for tomorrow is rain, chance of storms, minimum of 15, maximum of 21. Stephen, how does the weather relate? If you could describe the year in review financially. How would you describe it in weather terms?
Well, a series of Hurricane Katrinas.
Oh, really?
I think you would say. I think you'd have to say that the past year has been unprecedented in terms of the financial markets. That this is the, it's the worst event since the Great Depression. I read an interesting column online today saying that this was like when Lady Diana was shot, in that it has imposed.
She wasn't shot.
Sorry, I died in the car accident. I'm confusing the Kennedy shooting.
You are.
But the world stopped for 2 weeks to mourn. It was a psychological blow. And that is what we've seen, particularly since Lehman Brothers collapsed in September. We've just seen a psychological shot to the global economy. And you're seeing US car sales down by 40 to 50%. November on November. So car sales have halved.
Car sales have halved. Now, you were telling me about, in America, the bailout of the car industry doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yes, well, just in the last few hours, the Republican senators have refused to pass a US $14 billion bailout, which was going to be a loan to keep the big three car makers afloat. So already that caused our market to crash in the last 2 or 3 hours. We fell sort of 3%. Wall Street's already down 3 to 4%. It'll probably fall 500 or 600 points tonight. And just the whole spectre of General Motors and Ford going into Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, and then the chaos that causes in the credit markets and all the banks that have lent them money, and on it goes. So I think at the end of the day, there'll be a big sort of shock over the next few days. Then the politicians will all say, oh, that was a bit scary. We better give them some money.
Mm.
And interestingly, the Republicans refused to pass it because they wanted the unions, the car worker unions, to cut their wages as part of any deal. And the United Auto Workers wouldn't come to the party. So it was a classic sort of right-wing business party says, you workers must take a haircut too before we do a bailout. Refused to do a deal, and you're going to see some blood on the floor on Wall Street tonight.
Mm, how will that affect us on Monday?
Well, we already had our 3% fall. And, you know, when you've already fallen by 50% over the year,
yeah,
it's only so much further. You can't go to zero. So you've got to keep reminding yourself that. So,
and I also want to talk about our biggest disasters. Derek Gill.
Oh, thank you for that segue.
Yes, not that you're a disaster.
Derek Gill. That's I'll leave now. It's all right.
No.
No, all right. Stick around.
Yeah, please
okay,
do.
Okay.
Stephen was just saying the biggest financial disasters of the year.
Ah.
Yes.
Well, in that case, include me in.
Yes. Did you have shares?
No.
Well, it's a couple of year-end wraps. I think the biggest disaster for the year was ABC Learning. I still can't work out. I'm on the creditors committee. I still can't work out where the $3 billion went. And in terms of the chaos for parents, the cost for the taxpayer, the appalling governance, the fact that it was the most subsidised company in the country, getting $1 million a day from the taxpayer, doing a very simple service of childcare, how it lost $3 billion and collapsed so spectacularly. A lot of people are still confused. I think that was disaster of the year and a spectacular feat from Eddie Groves.
Who still says he doesn't agree with the receiver.
Can't work out what's happened. Receiver's making all these mistakes.
Yeah, he thinks it's all still Eddie. Viable.
So anyway, but good things will flow from this. And I think personally, the best thing I reckon that will come out of the global financial crisis is sort of wiping out all the paper shuffling, ticket clipping financial engineers, all the bankers. I mean, can you believe that at the peak of the boom in Australia, financial services companies got to be 44% of our stock market, and globally they got to be 30% of the stock market. So all the paper shufflers, all the people who gave us subprime and endless credit and $10 million fees and $50 million sign-on bonuses, they just took over the economy. And Paul Keating's right. Banking is just a utility. You're just meant to give money from one person to the other. It's like, you know, electricity companies or train companies, and they're going to finish up at 10% of the world economy. So they're going to go from 30% to 10%.
Self-regulating.
A lot of bankers are going to lose their job, but at the end of the day, a lot of bankers were having a free lunch on the rest of us for a long time, and it won't necessarily be a bad thing to see them get back to a bit of simple banking.
That won't be an unpopular sentiment, I don't think, Derek Gill.
No, I think at moments like this, rhyming slang does spring to mind, exactly.
Come on, Derek, what's on your program tonight?
It's my last program for the year tonight.
Oh, Derek.
It is. Oh, no, don't. That's good. It's good, Libby.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, we're good. It's been a big year. In fact, I think for everybody, it's been one of those, you know, I can say from a personal perspective, and I won't bore you with the details, it's not been a great year in some regards, it's been a great year in other regards, but really looking forward for a few corners to be turned in 2009. So tonight, I want to hear what your hopes and dreams and plans for 2009 are. Right. I'm particularly keen to hear if there's a birthday with a zero on the end of it next year, so how you're preparing for that. Particularly keen to hear if you've had to change the plans on the basis of the bankers, whether, you know, you were going to retire next year, but you're not going to, whether you're going to take the long service leave next year, but you've decided to, well, I might start work, and when I do retire, I'll put the long service leave into the mortgage, or whatever it is, whatever the plans are, how you plan to make 2009 a standout year. after 2008.
What a lovely positive sentiment. I've got two more shows.
Plus, yeah. Well, plus, because you've got cricket.
Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, then we've got cricket. Yep.
Yeah. Plus, also, a lot of the regular contributors to the program are going to pop in. We might drink at you on the radio. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Have a beer at you.
Mary Jane, have you got to say something
for me? Say something for me.
Your turn.
My turn. There has been, basically traffic on the roads has been fairly awful. The 606 upfield to Flagstaff has been cancelled as regards to trains, as well as the 640 Cranbourne to Parliament. I would suggest if you can avoid the ring road at this part of the afternoon, probably a good idea, as well as the Monash. The Monash is going to take you around an hour in both directions, whether you're travelling inbound or outbound. Also, turn your headlights on. A lot of people driving without their headlights. Turn your headlights on. That would help everyone. And I hope they enjoyed a bit of Johnny Cash. You know what? I did end up ditching everybody's
and putting in your own
song requests. Yeah. I said that they could call that they could text in with their favourite driving song, and I would have a look. I didn't really.
You didn't really look.
Love all of them, right. So I thought, you know what? A bit of Johnny Cash, Jackson. That's a good driving song,
and that made us happy.
Johnny Cash.
I think people were happy.
Stephen Mayne, one more question for you. What about the biggest investment opportunity next year, says Tim?
Oh, I think everything's a buy.
Everything's a buy.
Yeah. World's greatest bargain sale.
Yeah.
But it could still fall 20%, but long term. Look back to 91. Murdoch, Packer, Frank Lowy, Dick Pratt, they almost went broke, all of them. They hung onto their assets, and look at them now. Debt-free, worth billions. So the key thing now is hang on to what you got. If you can.
There you go.
And there's a fair bit that's underpriced at the moment compared to what things will be like in 5 years' time.
Yeah. What's going on with Dick Pratt right now in 15 seconds?
Well, he's in court, he's under pressure, and it's some very interesting evidence. And I'm feeling a bit sorry for him. I reckon it was a bit rough that he copped it.
Mm. Well, no doubt over the next week or so, as we come up to Christmas, it'll all unfold as to the fortunes of Mr. Dick Pratt. Mary Jane, thank you for a great week.
Thank you.
Thank you for working with me today.
We had fun.
We did. Derek Gill, Libby. News, PM, you.
In that order?
Indeed.
Well done.
Stephen Mayne, once again, thank you for illuminating us on the world of business and thank you for your contribution this year.
Thank you, Libby.
To The Drive Show on 774 ABC Melbourne, it is Libby Gore. It's the end of the week. Thank you for your company. And now it's news time.